Good morning. My name is Kevin King. I am the youth director here at First Baptist Church, and I am blessed with the opportunity to share God's word with you this morning. I want to start out with a question. And this is not a question we start out with on Sunday mornings a lot, but I think it's vital. I think it's important. And the question is, who likes eating? You can tell I like to eat, right? It doesn't take like special glasses or anything to see that I like to eat, but I want to talk to you today about the spiritual discipline of eating and how incredibly important and vital for our faith it is. This lesson may make you hungry, but I'm going to need you to focus, and I promise to get you out of here by 12:30 so you can rush over to Stacks or Mancino's or wherever you're going to go. You may not have known that eating is a spiritual discipline, but if you want to grow closer to Jesus in every season of life, like our theme is talking about, you need to know how to eat and eat well. We're going to take a look at Psalm chapter 1 today and learn what we can about this discipline that's needed for healthy spiritual growth. Once you find your place in Psalm chapter 1, I'm going to ask you to stand out of reverence for God's word. Psalm chapter 1. If you're having a hard time finding it, it's usually like right in the middle of your Bible. Psalm chapter 1. Here we read, "How happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path of sinners, or join a group of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted beside streams of water that bears its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. The wicked are not like this. Instead, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not survive the judgment, and sinners will not be in the community of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to ruin." Will you join me in prayer? Father God, we thank you that we could come to this place this morning. Father God, we thank you for your word that nourishes us, that feeds us. God, help us to be open to that word this morning and what you have for us. God, hide me behind your cross as I speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Hey, I remembered to say it that time. Last time I made you guys stand up and wait for a while. That was pretty good. No aerobics today. So I'd like to read this psalm again, this time in the New Living Translation. Here it says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction." So this is one of my favorite psalms and one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. In this psalm, we get a great lesson on the spiritual discipline of being fed. We get a great picture of how we can grow closer to Jesus in every season of life. We get two images of two different types of people in Psalm 1. The first is a picture of a healthy, growing believer, and the second is a picture of someone who is not a healthy, growing believer. Both of these pictures in Psalm 1 teach us an important lesson. To be a healthy, growing believer, you need to be fed. You need to be nourished by God. As physical beings, we require physical food, physical refueling, so that we can do the things we want and need to do. But we're more than physical beings. We are spiritual beings also. And we can't just be fed physically. We need spiritual nourishment. The scriptures call our relationship with Jesus a walk or a journey. And if you don't get refueled, it's hard to make that journey. Verse 1 begins with a contrast between the first person and the second. "How happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway of sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night." What we can see from the contrast of these two verses is that both types of people are getting fed. Everybody is getting fed with something. The question is, what are you getting fed with? Is it something that's good for you, that's going to help your walk? Or is it something that's going to hold you back? The person who is not a healthy believer is being fed with wicked advice, sinful words, and mocking directed at God. And you know what they say? Garbage in, garbage. There you go. We're supposed to grow closer to God in every season of life, not farther away. And every choice of what we're going to feed ourselves with will either take us closer to God or lead us farther away. If we're fed like garbage like this, we won't be able to grow closer to Christ. Instead, we'll be like the wicked person. And we get more information about the wicked person in verses 4 and 6. The wicked are not like this. Instead, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand up in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to ruin. If you're not getting fed with the good stuff from God, your life will end up in ruin. That is why we're warned in Colossians 2:8, be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elements of the world rather than Christ. So what are you getting fed with? The first person isn't the wicked person, though. The first person, the psalmist says that the healthy believer is like a healthy tree planted by flowing stream or river. Psalm 1:3 says, he is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears its fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. The picture of a flourishing tree was a common symbol of a healthy believer in the Old Testament. In Jeremiah 17:8, it says, he will be like a tree planted by water. It sends its roots out towards a stream. It doesn't fear when heat comes, and its foliage remains green. It will not worry in a year of drought or cease producing fruit. Also in Psalm 92:12 through 14, it says, the righteous thrive like a palm tree and grow like a cedar tree in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They thrive in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in an old age, healthy and green. I think it's interesting in both of these verses, the goal is to bear fruit even when you're old, to be growing closer to Jesus even when you're old. And that's exactly what our series theme is, growing closer to Christ in every season of life. So the success of the thriving trees in these passages is all dependent on how close they are to their source of nourishment. If you look at verses 2 and 3, Psalm 1 tells us how we can all be like this healthy tree. We have to be planted near a flowing stream. All right? And we learn from verse 2 that that flowing stream is the Word of God. If we have that, then we'll never wither and we'll always be able to produce fruit. But first, we have to be planted by a flowing stream. This means we need to be planted in Christ so that we can be fed, so that we can be nourished by spiritual food that only God can give. There's an issue here, though. A lot of people are being fed, but they're not planted yet. You may be hearing this sermon this morning, and your problem is not that you're not getting fed with the Word of God, but that you're not found in Christ yet. Colossians 2:6 through 7 says, so then just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught and overflowing with gratitude. If you're not in Christ, it doesn't matter how much you get fed, it's not going to help you. So if you're not saved, if you're not a believer this morning, why not get plugged in today? Get planted, rooted in Christ, so that you can be fed and grow and produce fruit. Now we get to the fun part. How do we get fed by God? How are we nourished spiritually so we can live the Christian life, so we can grow closer to Jesus in every season? The answer is we need nourishment from the Word of God. And if you didn't see this coming, you need to get your eyes checked. Psalm 1:2, instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. A better translation here would probably be, his delight is in the Lord's law. And the Hebrew word for law or instruction used in the Old Testament is Torah. Why is this important? It's important because at the time that this psalm was written and sung, what they had as God's whole word would have been the Torah, or the first five books of the Old Testament: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's what they would have been fed with at the time that the psalm was written. That's all they had. All right? But because the first five books of the law were all they had when this psalm was written, is that all that we can be fed by? No. As God's word grew, the term Torah also grew and is used as a blanket term for all of the word of God. A Hebrew scholar named Michael Van Lanningham, that's a fun word to say, says, the word Torah can refer to an individual law, the laws of the Sinai, the Pentateuch, the Hebrew Bible, any spiritual instruction, but here it means all of God's word, not just the Pentateuch. So today, we can apply this to us. We don't just delight and get fed by the first five books. We can get delighted and fed by God's entire canon, the Old and New Testament. So being fed by God's word is a discipline we need for spiritual growth. From my study, I have found that there seem to be four types of spiritual food that we find in the scriptures. Four different types of nourishment that we all need at different times and stages in our walk with Christ. The first is milk. 1 Peter 2:2-3 says, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into the full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. When you have a baby, you don't start off giving them a steak. That could be interesting to watch, but you don't do it. They don't have teeth to chew it, and their digestive system isn't ready to process it yet. They have to start out with milk and get used to that before they can progress to meat. It's the same with new believers. They need nourishment from the word a lot, but we can't expect them to digest the Bible on a level with a mature believer. There are certain books, passages, and doctrines that a newborn believer just isn't ready for yet, and that's why it's so important to have milk. New believers should be feeding themselves throughout the day with the word, just like a baby doesn't just feed three times or, you know, twice like we as adults do. They get fed more often. And a new believer, you need to be fed more often as well with the milk of the word. So something else that we need to consider when it comes to milk. Next slide. Forward it a little. This is normal, natural, healthy, and good. This, next slide, is not. This is a very real problem. We have believers who are not newborns, not babies, that should be eating meat, probably should be feeding other people meat from the word, but they're still going after milk. This is not a new problem either. Hebrews 5 says this, although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation again. You need milk, not solid food. Now everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness because he is an infant. That's like an adult hanging out in the kiddie end of the pool with water wings and a floaty. So, this is Kevin Michael, and the reason I put this up here, my mother-in-law took a bunch of pictures and her phone, like, made it into an animation, so you get to see, like, the whole time we were feeding him peas. It's kind of funny. The reason I put this up here is milk gets believers ready for solids, just like milk gets babies ready for solid foods. We just started giving Kevin Michael solid foods. We've given him, like, the oatmeal stuff and like the peas and everything like that, and he is ready, man. The milk has gotten him there. He is so excited about eating. I cannot get peas on the spoon fast enough for him. Like, you see him like laughing there? That's like the happy side. We didn't show you the angry like animation where he's like, oh, and he's just waiting for peas, like it's crazy. He gets a little hangry. All right. So Like an adult man hanging out in the kiddie end of the pool with water wings and a floaty, some adult believers, believers who should be maturing in the type of food that they're getting from the Word, they're not growing. They're not moving on. And we laugh, but this is real. There are Christians like this. Why would you want to go back to formula when you could have something good and tasty? I'm here to tell you, I've smelled the formula that we feed babies. It's disgusting. So gross. I would have to be so starving to drink formula. Any other parents smell the formula that they give their babies? Gross, yes? It's disgusting. Why would we as adults want to go back to that? We wouldn't unless we had no other choice. And this is why it's such a problem. We have adult believers, mature believers, going back for the milk when they should be chewing on meat from the Word. Kevin Michael loves the formula, but he doesn't know how good food can taste yet. He's never had certain things that will just like ruin him for milk forever. So, my question like this, and I don't want to be too heavy-handed with it, is, are you a Christian like this? Should you be eating meat, but you're still digging that milk? The second type of food in the Bible is bread. Matthew 4:4 says, "It is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Now, God's word is equated to our daily bread that keeps us alive and kicking. Jesus is actually quoting the Old Testament here when he says that. It's Deuteronomy 8:3. Bread is like middle ground. It's solid, but it's not too heavy. It's not too hard to chew or digest. It'll sustain you and keep you alive, keep you going. Even like some of the poorest of the poor and some of the people in like prisons back in the day when this was written, they had bread. They may not have had a lot of things, but they had bread. They had the grains, all right? It'll keep you alive. It'll keep you going. Just like the scriptures will keep you alive as you walk with Jesus. The third type of meat we find in the Bible, or the third type of food we find in the Bible is meat. Hebrews 5:14 says, "But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." The meat of the scripture is something you have to work towards. It's something you have to progress to. Not all Christians in their current stage of maturity can handle the meat of the word, just like babies. Okay? And even as you start to grow and progress, like we don't just hand our kids meat, right? We cut it up for them. We make it easier to digest and chew and swallow. So there are certain things that new believers aren't ready for. Certain things like the book of Ezekiel or Hebrews or Revelation. Okay? There's certain things that are meat and that we should only get to when we're ready for it, when we've matured, when we can process it through the right view. For someone who's a new believer, I always recommend the Gospel of Mark. It's a good place to start. It's fast-paced. It's Jesus-focused. It's easy to understand. It's good stuff. It's milk for a new believer. And not being ready for spiritual meat is nothing to be ashamed of or grumpy about. We all start there and then grow. Just like babies shouldn't be ashamed of being babies, we all start there. We grow. There's nothing wrong with that. The fourth type of food that I found in my study is that scripture is honey. Psalm 19:9 through 10 says this, "Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold, and they are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb." Psalm 119:102 through 103 says, "I have not turned from your judgments, for you yourself have instructed me. How sweet your word is to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth." This is one of the types of food that scripture is that I feel is not taught enough in the church. Honey was a sweet treat. It was their dessert, their delight. One of the sweetest things they could get their hands on. You may not like honey, and that's okay. What it really symbolizes here is your dessert. All right, your favorite sweet treat. So picture your favorite sweet treat and equate that with the Bible, whether it's candy or cake or pie, creme brulee. I told you it might make you hungry. I warned you. For me, it's ice cream. Ice cream. My mouth just filled up with water. What we do with these things, we eat them, but it's not so much for nourishment, all right? We eat them because they delight and comfort us. And this is what God's word is also. It's a sweet treat. It's comfort food. How can we pass over passages that talk about how much God loves us and not enjoy the sweetness? Some of you might be thinking, can you give us an example? Sure I can. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. That's sweet. He gave everything he had. He gave his very best, his Son. I love you all, but I'm not giving you my Son. But that's how God loves us. He gave us his Son because he didn't want heaven without us. How about Romans 6:23? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You don't have to work for eternal life. You don't even have to try. You just have to accept the free gift. He offers us a free gift. That is sweet. It can be your delight if you let it. The Bible is comfort food. Hebrews 13:5 through 6. Be satisfied with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or abandon you. Therefore, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Comfort food. Isaiah 41:10 through 13. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. Be sure that all who are enraged against you will be ashamed and disgraced. Those who contend with you will become as nothing and will perish. You will look for those who contend with you, but you will not find them. Those who war against you will become absolutely nothing. For I am the Lord your God who holds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Comfort food. Lamentations 3:20 through 23. And some of you are thinking, wait, comfort food from a book called Lamentations? Yes. I continually remember them and have become depressed. Yet I call this to mind and therefore have hope. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will put my hope in him. Comfort food. The cool thing about God's comfort food is that it also nourishes you. It also gives you what you need, and it lasts forever. I'm so thankful for people in my life when I was struggling, going through darkness, that they came and they shared sweet comfort food from God's word with me. Now, there are days that I don't read my Bible, and then the next time that I do after I've skipped, I'm like, why did I allow myself to miss Bible time? Why did I allow myself to miss that? It's so sweet. It's so good. I missed out on comfort. And I kick myself in the butt because I could have had something good. Is the Bible sweet to you? If the answer is no, ask yourself, why not? Have you really given the scriptures a chance? Do you have a wonky perspective? Maybe you think this is just a book of rules. It's not. It's dessert. Give it a chance. It may become sweet to you. So the Bible is milk, bread, meat, and dessert, all meant to nourish and enrich our lives. So the logical question becomes, if we need to be fed spiritually, how often should we partake of God's word? Some people think once or twice a month is enough. Some people think once or twice a week is enough. Some people think once a day is enough. But what do our verses say? Psalm 1:2 says, instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction, and he meditates on it day and night. So the Bible seems to say we need to be fed every day. Now, for those of you who get fed only when you come to church, that is like only eating food when you have a family meal on the weekend. Now, I love family meals on the weekend. Oh, let's go back. We're not ready for Grumpy Cat yet. Rest in peace. We'll come back. All right. So, that threw me off, Grumpy Cat. So when I was a kid, I don't know what you guys do in your family, but the weekends, it was time for a family meal. We would go to my grandma's house, and my grandma, Sam, she made the best food. Like, she ruined our family on Italian food. We would go out to eat at like Olive Garden or something like that, and we would order anything on the menu, and none of it would ever be as good as grandma's. Every time we would taste a bite, we were like, why'd we come out? Why'd we pay for this junk? Like, this is lousy. Because my grandma made the best food. And she didn't just make like Italian food. My grandma was amazing. She made like Chinese food. She made Mexican food. Like, pretty much any food you could want or imagine, she made it. And it was better than what you could eat out. So, like, we kind of didn't eat out a lot because nothing was as good as grandma's. We'd just be like, hey, grandma, can we come? She was like, yeah. Now, grandma's food was so good, we always looked forward to family meals at grandma's house. But did that mean that we didn't eat during the week? No, we had to eat during the week, okay? Imagine this. Imagine going an entire week only eating one physical meal on Sunday. How would your week go? Would it be productive? Would you be emotionally stable? I would not be emotionally stable. You guys might have to lock me up. Like, after a couple meals, I'm like, would not be a good situation. Ask yourself this question. Would your smartphone or your tablet, would it work for a week if you only charged it for like 1 or 2 hours that week? This is what we do with our spiritual nourishment. We come and we get fed, maybe once, maybe twice a week at church, and we think that that's enough, but it's not. That's not going to give us enough energy to get through what we need to do that week. That's not going to nourish us enough so that we're healthy and that we grow. It's not going to nourish us enough so that we produce fruit. We need to be fed. So some of the things that happens to your physical body when you go without eating. Did you know that your breath can smell when you skip meals? Research has shown that breath acetone is a reliable indication that you have gone into fat-burning mode. Your release of ketone bodies through your breath is often an unpleasant smell. Right? This was a study done by Yale, and they a couple things that happen when you skip meals. The other thing that they said happens is your body starts running on emergency power. Researchers at Yale found that during times of starvation, the body preserves two organs and then shrinks the rest. It starts running on emergency power. All right, your brain, your heart, those things get protected, and everything else kind of goes on the backup generator that's not very good. Okay? You might be in this room and you might be trying to live the Christian life on emergency power. So many of us, we kind of wonder, like, why is our Christian life not what we think it should be? Why aren't we doing the things that we know we should? Why aren't we more empowered and happy to live for Jesus throughout the day? And it's because we're spiritually malnourished. This is a huge problem in the Christian church. We are overfed here and underfed here. If we are trees, many of us have planted ourselves far away from the flowing waters of God's word. Church, Sunday school, Wednesday night services, Bible studies, these things aren't bad. They're great. They're family meals. We should all come together and get fed at these meals. But they're not enough. We need to be feeding ourselves daily in God's word. We need to reach out with our roots towards the flowing stream and open God's word in private study. So come to Sunday service, come to Sunday school, Wednesday night, a Bible study. But make sure you're spending time in God's word on your own daily. Now we can move to Grumpy Cat. Rest in peace. So you might be wondering why I put this picture up here. Some people say there's like a startling resemblance. I don't see it. The reason I put this picture up here is that there are times when Brie will come up to me and I'll have like a Grumpy Cat face on and she'll say, hey, have you done a quiet time yet? And I'll kind of look at her grumpily and be like, no, why? She's like, I can tell you haven't done a quiet time yet. You should go do a quiet time. You're much better once you've spent time with Jesus. So I could explain this a little bit more, but I think it'd be more fun to show you a video clip. So we're gonna show you a clip real quick, and then we'll talk some more.
Marcia, what happened?
Peter hit me in the nose with a football. I can't go to the dance like this.
Well, I'm sure it was an accident, sweetheart.
An eye for an eye. That's what Dad always says.
I never said that, honey.
Shut up! Time to teach Peter a lesson.
Marcia, eat a Snickers.
Why?
You get a little hostile when you're hungry. Better? Better.
Marcia, Marcia, Marcia.
Jan, this isn't about you.
It never is!
So we laugh, it's funny. But we're not us when we're hungry. And that's true physically, but it's really true spiritually. If you're hungry for God's word and you don't feed yourself, you don't get fed, you're not you. You're not the you that Jesus saved you to be. You're not the you that he created you specifically to be when you haven't been fed by him. So, read some Bible. Scripture satisfies. Only when we are fed by God's word will we grow, thrive, and produce fruit. Psalm 1:3 says, "He is like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." The fruit...
Marcia, we're doing it again. What happened?
Okay. Peter hit...
Yeah, okay, we did that. We'll move on to the next slide. You're good? Okay, cool. All right, so the fruit that Psalm 1 actually mentions in verse 3 is the fruit of the Holy Spirit from Galatians 5. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." A lot of Christians, and a lot of times I do this too, I act like I have to work to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But really, all we have to do is spend time with God, being fed by his word, and he will produce that fruit in us. John 15:4 through 5 says, "Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me." If you don't spend time with God, bearing fruit is impossible, and growing closer to Jesus Christ won't happen in every season. We need to be in the Bible daily, taught the scriptures weekly, and filling up our minds with the word, and then we'll be like the tree in Psalm chapter 1, growing, producing fruit, and thriving. So, as a way to close, Psalm 1 gave us an example of two types of people: a thriving tree that has been fed well by God, and dust that gets swept away when the wind blows. Which one are you? What are you getting fed by? Are you a healthy tree, growing, producing fruit? If not, maybe you need to reach those roots out to the stream of God's word. Will you join me in prayer? Father God, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is good spiritual food. God, we thank you that it is milk for new believers. God, we thank you that it is bread that sustains us. We thank you that it is meat that fills us up. And we thank you that it is a dessert, sweet like honey, that delights us and comforts us. God, we are so thankful for your word. It is an amazing, amazing gift. Help us to make sure that we make time for you and your word so that you can talk to us, so that you can feed us, so that we can be the people that you have called us to be, the people you have saved us to be. Jesus, help us to make time for you. Open our hearts and our minds. Renew them with your word. Feed us. Fill us up. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.